These are the two problems that people have when it comes to... By the way, no, excuse me. These are not the two problems people have. These are the two problems you have when you read the Bible. Some things you just don't see. Why don't you see them? Well, let me ask the question. Let's take this out of the subject of election. Let's look at a simple question. Why can a person go to an independent Baptist church like ours or a Bible-believing church and be bitter for 40 years? Amy told me this week we were talking about a situation, and she said, and I think she's right, because those people don't see themselves as bitter. They see themselves as right. Now, the bitterness is just spewing out of them, but and they read the same Bible. Yes? Well, folks, bitterness is an easy problem to solve until you come to election. There's people that just, I mean, people literally, I've had people red-faced at me when I mention it. The second problem is, you see what you know is there. The average person in this room thinks the guy you're looking at has gray hair. So when I tell you I don't have gray hair, some of you will snicker. Because you're seeing what you think is there. I'm 58 years old almost, so I must have gray hair. My dad never had gray hair till his 70s. What do you think about that? You say, what's this stuff? Well, actually, this stuff is the same as this stuff, is the same as this stuff, is the same as a lot of places where I have totally white hair from a disease. But you think it's gray because, listen, you see what you already know is there. We're going to talk about something, and we're going to begin today that's, for some people, this just puts them in a fit. Even to read, by the way, at Hiles Anderson College, Pensacola Christian College, might as well name names, and all the redneck schools, just to read the verses we're going to read this morning, you'd get booted out of college. To read the verses. Do you understand that? And these are people that hold the King Jimmy up and blah, bless God. You're not even a... Then you go into a third problem. Do you understand that? What if you're not allowed to see something? I'm asking you a question, by the way. This is your Sunday school class. What if you're not allowed to see that, whatever that is? And we're going to talk about election, but this is a whole bunch of stuff, not just this issue. Have you ever wondered why I could go to a Presbyterian seminary and have people more godly than most people in this room believe in baptizing infants? And you're like, where do they get that from? And they look at me and like, where do you get baptizing by immersion? We see, some things we just can't see. You say, why? All kinds of reasons. Traditions, background, personality, ton of things. Some things you just see what you already know is there. I won't get into it. I'll probably never get into it in a church service. There's one area of theology that for 25 years, because of a guy named Robert Gromacki, I saw things one way, and one day it was like, oh my goodness, I have been doing this for 25 years. And not knowing every time I read certain verses, I added to Scripture. Because I learned it from a guy named Gromacki. I just did it intuitively. Because I know what's there, so that's how I read the text. This one's bad. Just so I don't pick on everybody equally at Bob Jones University in the past. I don't know about today. You would be kicked out if you got into the discussion on Calvinism, Arminianism. That's how we deal with problems. You don't discuss them. Shut up. By the way, you're coming to college to... No, not everything. Bizarre. You all understand this? Let's look at the text. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. Let's stand. We'll read together, please. The Apostle Paul writes this to the church at Thessalonica. For we are bound to give thanks always, or always, to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen, that's election, chosen you to salvation. Now, if you're a good hyper-Calvinist, you stop right there. You don't need to go any further because that's all you're interested in. Somehow there's this election out here. And by the way, that's the position over here. It's just, you know, God chooses you. Let's go home. Let's rejoice in what we think we know. But it continues. He goes on to say how this happens. through sanctification of the Spirit, meaning before a person is saved, the Spirit of God does something within them that makes them desire, want, and respond to the gospel and belief in the truth. Whereunto he called you. Now, election, by the way, election is always seen in the Bible as in eternity, or outside of time, before time. Let's not get into the debate about language. Calling always happens in time. So when we look at a person, Bill, and Bill is an unsaved guy, election is that which happens before time, or if there is such a thing, and I don't want to get into the debate of time. Calling is what happens when a person actually is called to faith at a point in time. There's the difference. But notice what it says. So, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, that work that the Spirit of God does in setting you into the proper place to get saved, and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Everybody that gets saved by hearing the gospel and responding to the gospel. Now, everybody look up here, and then we'll sit down and start. You'll notice I have something on the board. You're going to have a group that basically does not believe in election. We're going to talk about that group. You're going to have another group that only believes, I should say it this way, and they're really good. That's all they ever want to talk about. But why that is because they don't ever want to talk to anybody. So they think people do. I don't know if they think people get zapped or they don't care. God chose me and I'm on my way. That's ridiculous. The Bible teaches election plus a whole lot of other stuff. That other stuff is what you're to be involved in. Let me guess. Preaching the gospel. Yes? Yes? That's the reason I call what I would consider the biblical view election plus. It's not just God chose you. It's, yes, God chose you, and the Spirit of God did a work in your life, and you heard the gospel, and you believed, and you were called at that point in time to eternal life. All of this is a package deal. So I'm obviously going to focus on this. Now, before we pray, some of you may not ever be able to see this. I understand that. I won't be mad at you. It doesn't make it less in the Bible. Right now, many of you will see what you know is there. In this church, we're not going to play the game of what we're going to take passages of the Bible and never read them. If you want to go to a church like that, there's some of those little redneck hillbilly churches in this area where passages of the Bible that we don't like, we just ignore. This is not one of those places. And by the way, I'm open for a discussion. So let's begin, and we'll begin. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable time, I ask in Jesus' name. Jared, I'm glad you're here this morning, but you disappointed me because you could see that. And I just knew you would join the club, and you didn't. In your notes, as I say in your notes, basically you have three broad views of this. And I did not put the word alone, but I will on the ones that go online. Election alone is one view that basically you get a lot of that when people just want to talk about election. Everything is election, 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 election. And that can be a high Calvinist, hyper Calvinist, or more importantly than any of that, a lazy Christian. Or a person that is self-preoccupied. I put it in the right spot. Lazy Christian, self-preoccupied people, frankly, never talk to anybody. So why would they talk to other people? So they love election because, you know, God will do that. And that is just nothing to do with Scripture. Scripture is always election plus a whole bunch of other things. And we're going to talk about this over several weeks. I say in your notes, to even mention this word prompts many reactions, most of them bad. And I'm speaking specifically for independent Baptist circles. Not at Central Seminary, not at Detroit Seminary, but if you go to most places, Maranatha, if you're with Dr. Moritz, you'd be okay. Dr. Saxon, you'd be okay. But there'd be people there very nervous about election. The first thing you'll get is, I don't believe in election. in the Philippines. Louis, where you're from, Ulysses and his brother, Dennis, have a group now that I've been being able to teach, though I haven't discussed this issue with them, really. And the other group that they're loosely associated with calls them electionist, because this group believes in election. Now, I want to ask you a question. How do you believe the Bible and not believe in some form of election? Well, that's one response. Next in your notes, if you're around any of the hyper-fundamentalists, you're going to get this. Calvinism, and by the way, I haven't even mentioned Calvinism. Calvinism is the enemy of soul winning. Then I say in your notes, of course, election is a biblical word and concept and therefore precedes any discussion of Calvinism or Arminianism. I don't care what you believe about anything. Look at me, folks. Election is a biblical term and concept all through the Bible. So to not believe it kind of puts you in a bad place. As Paul says, we've been reading over the past few weeks, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. That means something. Those that have been chosen. And these are people that are still unsaved, which is interesting, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So Paul understood there was a group of people that God has chosen, and he's going to give everything he has to make sure they hear the gospel and get saved. I think that's what the passage means. How about this one? A topic that is off limits. It's verboten. Everyone look at me. Some of you grew up in independent Baptist churches. What did you hear about this? Little to nothing. Nothing? Or we're not going to talk about that, or let's not think about that, or let's hurry on to something else, or we don't believe that. And if you're around some people, you don't talk about that. This is what you also get. Anger, by the way, of Christians, by the way. Hatred. And nearly violence. I think of a guy right now. I can't say the guy's name. I was at Camp Joy recently, and I got the poor guy so tongue-tied. I didn't mean to do it. Yeah, I did mean to do it. he was spouting foolishness, and, you know, he was a pastor, so if you're spouting foolishness publicly, then you know, if you're going to lie publicly, then you're going to get, you know, you deserve what you get. It's best not to lie. By the way, you're going to find that I'm going to give you the positions mainly for this and for this. This one here really doesn't have many defenders. I mean, this right here is what most Baptists I've been around are. They have ways of not discussing that. If you don't believe in election at all, you're really even further. I don't know what you are in that position. We're going to discuss them. How about this one? Dismissive, abusive language. Putting you down and putting you in your place. Have you ever experienced that? I'm asking you, have you ever experienced it? I have. If you'd have spoken about this at Hiles Anderson or any of those kind of groups, you're going to be put down. You're going to be made fun of. Somebody's going to get in the pulpit and talk about deeper lifers, people against soul winning, people against witnessing, people against people getting saved. And you're like, I mentioned election and I'm all of that? Now, what we're going to do is the unthinkable. We're going to read verses. Mark 13. This is not all the verses in the Bible that deal with this. These are some of them. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect, eklektos. That's the Greek word, eklektos. The elect, singular, but here it's plural, sake. But it doubles down in this passage. You know, for the chosen sake, whom he had chosen. He really wants you to know that for that group of people whom he has chosen, you know, the elect people, he had shortened those days. John 13:18. I speak not of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me. But I have done what? Well, John 15:19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. 1 Corinthians 1:22 to 23 and 24, of course, gives an interesting discussion, because Paul here starts to deal with the subject of people hearing the gospel. And I recognize the implications of what this means is not always welcome among Christians. I understand that. And if I may say this and break off from reading verses, I also understand something else. The moment I talk about this, there's going to be people saying, well, is somebody in my family is not saved, or are they elect? Do you realize the Bible never has that dumb conversation? Please look at me. Why are you having it? Why do we ask questions the Bible doesn't have an answer, doesn't care about? In the Bible, for the Christian's perspective, election deals basically with yourself. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure, 2 Peter 2, and tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I think every single person, this is what I believe, maybe you believe something differently, I believe every person that goes to hell, everyone, will go there because they want to. And if you gave them 10,000 choices, here's where I differ from some of you. If you gave them 10,000 choices, nothing would change. So you think, because you're a Christian, if you went to hell, man, if I had an opportunity to get... Folks, a person that doesn't want to come to Christ, if they went to heaven, they would be rather uncomfortable. It would be the worst place they'd ever thought about being. But we're just, by the way, we're not going to get into that. We're looking at verses. You've got to deal with text. So you have in this passage, Tim, I want you to read it for me, would you? You have two categories. So you have Jews. Jewish people in that day wanted a sign. And you had Greeks, which in this category would be bigger. It would probably refer to Gentiles in general, but he's speaking to Greek-speaking people in Corinth. So Greeks require what, Tim?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Yes, sir. Continue.
Well, we preach Christ crucified.
So we preach Christ. You say, well, that's all we have to preach. Now, I know this is hard for people. We're going to go right into the text. We're going to read exactly what God's Word says. But understand, Paul didn't go out there and say, well, that group of Jews over there, they just want to sign. This group of Gentiles here, they just want wisdom. So I don't talk to them. No, he preached Christ crucified to everybody. Preach the gospel. Continue, sir. So it's a stumbling block here. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. Well, then who in the world listens, Tim?
But unto them which are called.
Oh, those who are called. What?
Both Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
So there are three categories, friends. There are the Jews that look for a sign that this is all just a stumbling block. I don't get any of this. And then there's Greeks that look after wisdom that see the Christianity and the cross and dying on a cross and being resurrected. All that's foolishness. But we're preaching Christ to all of them. But to those who are called, they see everything about this is different. Everything about this is different. By the way, and you don't know who, you just do this. This is your job. And by the way, when I use this term, I've already said it, I'm not talking about what I do from a pulpit. I'm talking about you just talk to people about Christ, Him crucified. Share the gospel. Share your testimony. But I do know this. You're not going to trick somebody into going to heaven. You're not going to trick somebody into following Christ. You know, we have two friends and family days coming up, which you're supposed to be right now looking at people that are unsaved to invite. This morning, I'll be preaching the gospel, but I know something. I've been pastoring a long time. I'll preach how to be saved. And I've seen people, I'm looking out there and like, this person is as interested in this as this person would be interested in taking a file from wood and scraping their face. I can't make them interested. You say, what makes them interested? What God does. I can't do anything else. 1 Corinthians 1. Is that in your notes? Yes, 25. Paul goes on to say, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling. Now, calling is what happens in time. He says, look around. He says, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, noble means of good birth, are called. He says, if you look around, you realize that's not the way it works. He says in verse 27, now he's interchanging the two. He says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, implication, and God has chosen the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea or yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. By the way, friend, when it comes right down to salvation, everything is going to be of God or it's going to be of you. And in the Christian faith, it's of God. Nobody will glory in themselves. Verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made into you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Next page. Are you getting worn out yet? Ephesians 1. According as he hath chosen us in us, when did he choose us? Everybody, read with me. According as he hath chosen us, when? We're back to that again. James 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Matthew 20, verse 16. Now we're moving from a verbal form to a noun form. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called. That is generally what we call in this context, not the call to salvation, but the call to everybody by the gospel. Many. Arms are wide open, friend, but few are chosen. Jesus said that. 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 24:22, but for the elect's sake. 24, they shall, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Luke 18:7. This is a passage on prayer. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Those whom he hath chosen, that's all that means. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Romans 16:13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. 1 Peter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect. Elect. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. To whom coming, as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, or highly valuable. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Again, it says the same thing of the Lord Jesus. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. 1 Peter 2:9, same language now talks about believers. But you are a chosen generation, or race, or people, might be a better way of we're thinking about it. You hear that? You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are without are called, kletoi, called to salvation, chosen, eklektoi, and faithful, pistoi. That, by the way, all three of those go together. There's not people that are chosen and called that aren't faithful. They're all the same group. Acts 9. By the way, everyone look at me. Is there all with me? Now, I want to ask you a question. You do not have to answer, but I wouldn't mind somebody answering. If you go to a college like a Hiles Anderson, like West Coast, and I could just go on and on, Pensacola and on, and they tell you, never discuss this. Now, you need to tell me why. Anybody? Afraid of doing what? Yes, Walter? Walter? But it's a Bible college. You know, i.e., you're there to learn. By the way, you're going to realize when we get done with this, friend, if you're here for the next few weeks, you do not have to agree with me on these issues. But you may not say you don't believe in election. Did you hear me? You might come out with the Arminian view of election, which is basically no real election. I'm okay with that. I have Arminian friends. But you may not say the Bible doesn't talk about election. You're like, how do you get that? I would agree, Walter. I would agree, Josh, with you too. But why is that? Let's take another guy. Tim, I'll come to you. You have a question or comment?
I was just going to add to your question. I think a lot of it's about control and the organization or individual's insecurities.
Ron Comfort. Some of you know the name. Ron Comfort is an old fundamentalist that started at Ambassador Baptist College. By the way, not a horrible school. Good things go on there. I don't think he's a bad guy. 10 years ago or so, maybe a little longer, he had a couple of students come to him and ask him questions. Now, you have to understand, he graduated from Bob Jones in 1961, I think it was. He's been in evangelism forever. He's probably in his 70s, maybe older. A young student, 18 years old, or 19, came to him and asked him about election. This is Ron Comfort's solution. Kick 30 people out of school and forbid anybody to ever discuss that. Yes, Josh, I'm sorry. That's about where we're at. If I don't believe it, it's not true. It doesn't make any difference what the Bible says, and you shut up or you're gone. And you're 18. I'm sorry, there is nobody in this church going to scare me. I don't care how old you are, and there's certainly not an 18-year-old going to scare me. Mike.
I think the colleges have a hard time dealing with that because on the surface it would seem to go against witnessing and sending out missionaries and stuff like
sure.
that. So then they have to address it or dismiss it altogether.
How about this? Give the basic views of different people and leave it to the student to work through this. Man, that would be a weird position, wouldn't it? My best friend, which your husband's preaching for today, I'll come right to you, Josh. His poor son, his oldest son, and his oldest son's a little quirky. His oldest son was kicked out of Pensacola twice over this issue. Now, the second time was his fault. He should have just shut up. You know, if they don't want you to talk and you sign the dotted line, shut up. Josh. Political? Amy.
That is actually what Bob Jones does. In their doctrines classes, they present both sides. But as a teacher, you're not allowed to give your position, which does limit the teacher, but they have to present.
But see, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. Now, once you get to be an MDiv and above, you better be having some guys that can discuss things. I know. You notice the word there. Yeah, you're right, Josh. It becomes political. It becomes some hillbilly pastor up in the boondocks, you know, is going to get mad and not send students there anymore. But what is that hillbilly pastor preaching? You have to understand, when I hear a guy say, I don't believe in election, Josh, that's outside the faith. You know, we're not talking about you have the Arminian view, which we're going to talk about in this class, in Sunday school. I don't have a problem with the Arminian view. At least you believe and think you have reconciled the Scripture. But when you say the Scripture doesn't address that, well, we'll read some more. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. You mean Paul was actually chosen by God? Or didn't Paul choose God and choose to be an apostle? And yeah, okay. Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, and not of works, but of him that calleth. 11 verse 15. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh, but the election, hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. 11:28. As concerning the gospel, the Jewish people, today, right now, not in the future, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, meaning as a nation, as a people, they're still God's chosen people. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I think an important verse for us. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That was a verse that would be avoided at all cost in any easy believism group. I want everyone to look at me. You don't mind if Pastor Warren just interrupts. I believe when you get saved, you can have assurance. I don't even have a problem with sharing verses with you that will help you understand that when you're saved forever. But you do realize after a point in time, you're calling an election. You're the one that has to make it sure. And if you don't, this is what happens. See if this sounds familiar to people you know. You percolate along in a church like this for a year or two or three or four or five or ten. You don't do much. You're a big zero. That person, they never amount to much. But as they percolate down the road, everything is good because, hey, once saved, always saved, got some assurance, everything is great. Until what happens? Mike, thank you. That's exactly what happens. You have somebody that has this. They run into a wall. Now, salvation was just, you know, one, two, three, repeat after me. Pray a prayer. Once saved, always saved. Everything is cool. Until you run up against the marriage that I knew I had has fallen apart. My kids have not followed the Christian faith. What I thought was real isn't. I found out this guy was a liar and I thought he was Jesus on earth. The crisis happens. And how do those people do? Tim Durham, did we have a conversation about this last night? You say why? Because those kind of people, everything is cool until the crisis happens. And when the crisis happens, they don't have the thing that every Christian is supposed to have with the central piece of your life is your relationship with the living God. And you have been diligent to make that sure, and that supersedes all other relationships. So when your children become stupid, so a young lady in my church in St. Louis becomes gay, the mother's first step is, that's okay. And the next, are you listening to me? She went to Hiles Anderson. The first step of the mother went to Hiles Anderson. The first step was to approve what the daughter was doing. The second step was to join the daughter. You say, I've never, folks, I've seen that stuff right here. Do you have eyes that can see? You say, why? Because Christianity is, it's hillbilly religion. I would say from Kentucky, but it's probably some in Tennessee and some in the South, and it's hillbilly religion. It's in the tavern on Sunday night, on Saturday night, and in church on Sunday, and there's no real Christianity, and who I am is not determined by Christ. It's just comfortable. I'm comfortable here. I like the humor. I like the people. But when the crisis happens, they dissolve. I've seen that garbage all my life. I have zero respect for hillbilly Christianity. Have you figured that out? Because the center is not Christ in the book. The center is their emotions, and they like it until the fourth marriage. And then they come back to church, and the pastor's not happy. You're on number four? Well, aren't you here to give me a hug? What kind of Christian are you? Let me say something, folks. That verse is a central verse. If you make Christ and Him crucified the center of your life, and you're going to face the storms. Did you all know that? Look at me. 10 years from now, look at the crowd. We will not look the way we look right now. Some of us will be gone. Some of us that you thought were good people will be. Who are you? Did you have a comment, Tim? I thought you wanted to say. Anybody? You're loud, Pastor Warren. Yes, go ahead. A whole bunch of factors here, brother. I want to say this to all of you, everybody in this room, including the person you looked at. You're a lot more dependent on your circumstances than you know. You think everything is cool until the crisis happens. Listen, I talked to Chuck Ells this week. He's weeping. Chuck is the same age as me. He has a wife that is paralyzed from the waist down. He has to wait on her 24/7. She cannot go to the bathroom by herself, either direction. He has to put her in a harness, and gravity has to take effect. You do that for about a month. And then talk to me about your once saved, prayed this little prayer, everything is cool. Where's my beer at? By the way, folks, it's pretty obvious. In a couple months, I'll be here 19 years. It's pretty obvious. Decades don't lie. You can't fake it. Now let's go back to that text. I recommend you actually meditate on the text. Yes, sir.
I heard from a lot of people you talked about this once in your Christian life, you start or mean this rule Christian life
exercise. Spurgeon actually said it better. He says everybody's born in Arminian. It's the grace of God that makes you different. It ought to be. I don't want to go there this morning. You're trying to trap me, Louie. Talk that over with Dada. By the way, I would think what you said is more profound than election. If your God doesn't get bigger every year, you got a problem. Because, folks, you can't depend on anything. Your health, your job, your family. I mean, you understand, Jenny and I, Kevin Botter and Debbie, and Chuck and Shelley went out to Lake Superior to the Apostle Islands together for a day and had a great day this year. And a few months later, he's calling me, said, my wife has something wrong. We think it's in her spine. And the next thing, she's paralyzed? Let's continue reading. These are different words, but same concepts. All that the Father giveth me. Well, who are those people that the Father gives the Son? Shall come to me, irresistibly, I might add. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. By the way, I believe in eternal security. If the Father has given you to the Son, and you come to the Son, trust me, you will never, ever worry about anything. But you better know that. Look at me. It better not be 1, 2, 3, repeat after me stuff. It better not be hillbilly religion. Now, I know I'm being harsh, but I grew up with hillbilly religion, and I despise it. John 6:65. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." John 17:2. This is Jesus in his prayer. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Wow. 17, and of course, that what is that eternal life? "That they may know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me." 17:7, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." That's a little different. That's the truth. Verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." 17:11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." 17:12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition," and there's an ellipsis here, "the son of perdition is lost," is the idea, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." Verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now, please look at me. We're right on time. Give me 1 minute. Can you do that? Please look at me. If you're saved, and please don't give me 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I'm not interested in any of that. Be diligent to make your calling and election. That's your job. It is your job to make sure that Christ is the center. I don't know. I can look around. I can guess. Why do you think Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself? Because when I look at most people, I see the center of their life as their own will. Not Christ. Them. I will say this, friend. God help us if the crisis come. Louis, I'm going to add Louis' theology. God should become bigger, not smaller in your life. God-centeredness is what we're really talking about. Let's pray and we're done. Father, thank you for your word. I think we had a good introduction to this subject this morning. Bless your word. Help us not to freak out. Help us actually to think about these subjects, these doctrines, these truths. Help us to rejoice in that you're much, much bigger and that us getting saved is no accident. You are a gracious God and a great God. And yes, we can not only trust you at salvation, but for every piece of life until the day we step on the other side. Thank you. And we rejoice in you, in your Son and what he has done for us. And we do so in Christ's name. Amen. Christy, thank you for...